The shir tonight is titled The Dangers of Greek Wisdom and Shemaya Vavtalion. So we'll start with our usual Jewish history background. Last time we met, we were up to Alexander Yanai, King Yanai, and his wife, Shlom Tzion Hamalka. Shlom Tzion, again, was the sister of Shimon ben Shetach. And from the time of Alexander Yanai and Shlom Tzion, it was a very peaceful time. The Jewish people were really in control of Eretz Yisrael, and there wasn't really any wars going on. So it was a good time period for the Jews. But then after that, Alexander Yanai and Shlom Tzion, they had two children. Their oldest, his name was Hyrcanus II, and he was crowned Melech and also Kohen Gadol. And then there was another son, the younger son, named Aristobulus, who wanted to be the king. So there was this huge civil war in Eretz Yisrael between Hyrcanus II, the oldest of Alexander Yanai and Shlom Tzion, and the younger son, Aristobulus. And they were fighting a lot. And what ends up happening is that Aristobulus takes over for a little bit, but then Hyrcanus, seeing that his brother was taking control, his younger brother, he ends up joining with the king of the Idumeans. And he asks, Antipater was his name, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, but he asked them to help him in order to take care of his brother, Aristobulus. So what ends up happening eventually is that Antipater, he had two sons, and one son was named Fazael, and the other son was named Herod, and he made them governors because since Antipater had joined up with Hyrcanus II, he was named by the Romans to be the leader of Eretz Yisrael, like the real governor. And he had these two children, Fazal and Herod. And eventually, what that ends up happening is Matisyahu, it's very a little complicated, but Matisyahu Antigonus, who is the son of Aristobulus, he's trying to take vengeance for his father. So he ends up cutting the ear off of Hyrcanus II, who is the oldest son of Alexander Yanai and Shlom Tzion, in order to apostle him as the Kohen in Kahuna. And what ends up happening ultimately is that Herod escapes and he goes to Rome, but in Rome he's pronounced the king and the leader and ruler of Eretz Yisrael. So basically, just to sum up, from the last year to this year, there was tremendous change in Jewish history. You had a real period of peace under King Yanai, Alexander Yanai, and his wife Shlom Tzion. And then because you have these two brothers, Hyrcanus II, which is the older one, and Aristobulus, they were really fighting. There was a civil war. It was terrible. And what ends up happening is Hyrcanus ends up using or asking for help from the non-Jews. And that ends up being the beginning of the end of the of basically Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the background. And we're going to take up the Gemara that discusses an interesting idea about Greek wisdom. From this time period. So if you look in, go to the source sheets, if you have the source sheets, and we'll start with source number one, which is Sota Mem Testament Aleph. It's a Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Bepulmus shel Titus, so in the war of Titus, who is the general of and leader of Rome, Guzru al Atros Kalos, so they made a gzera on the brides that they shouldn't wear crowns, Ushalo Yilmud Adam es Beno Yavanis. And the other gzera they made was that a person shouldn't teach their son Yavanis, Greek. Okay, so what is this time period? So look at Rashi. It says, Bepulmus shel Titus, Shehevi Hyrcanus Aristobulus Achiv. So like I said, so there was this battle, this civil war between Hyrcanus II, the son of Alexander Yanai Shlom Tzion, and his brother Aristobulus. Uvein Zelizah Yuchamisha Mushtaim Shana. There was 52 years of civil war in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So the Gemara's one question that emerges from here is that Titus actually lived much later. He didn't live in the same time as this because Titus was the one who was involved in the destruction of the Mikdash. And that was around 100 to 150 years later. So we're going to see that the Tosfos is going to take up that question. But let's move on to the Gemara so we can get into some conceptual analysis of the Gemara, hopefully. So we look at this interesting Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Tesam Amad Beis, source number 3. So it says as follows. So the question I think that we have to ask basically is, why can't you teach your child Greek? What's the problem with Greek? So look in the Gemara. It says, Ushalo Yilmod Esbenov, Yavanis. So it's basically quoting the Mishnah. And if you look in Rashi over there, actually Rashi says Chachmas Yivanisht, which we'll get to. But let's do the Gemara and we'll see what it means. So Tanu Rabbanan. So the our rabbis taught Kishet Saru Malchu Malche Beis Chashmonai Ze Al Ze. So when they had this war, the kingdoms of the Chashmonaim, which was referring to look at Rashi over there. Go down to Rashi. Chachmas Yivanis Lashem Chachmas Shemedamrbo Bnei Platin VeInshar Amakirnbo. So we're going to see what that means. But Chachma Yivanis is like a language that they would speak, but it wasn't just language. It was a Chachma that only the people in the palace would recognize. So we'll explain what that is as we go through the shir. Malchi Beis Chashmonai. Look at the second Rashi. Shnei Achim Shayim Iskotidin Amalucha Horkanes V'Aristobulus. So at the time when Hyrcanus and Aristobulus were fighting with each other, so what happened was Hayo Hyrcanus Mibachutz V'Aristobulus Mibifnim. So Hyrcanus was outside of Yerushalayim. And Aristobulus was Mibifnim, was on the inside. No, this is way after Hanukkah. Good question. This is way after Hanukkah because the Hanukkah was the early Chashmonai, Matisyahu. This is like way later. Fine. So we got to this. So we look at the Gemara, and the Gemara says that Hyrcanus was on the outside of Yerushalayim, and Aristobulus was on the inside. So what happens is, B'chol yom ayom hayu mishalshlin dinarim b'kupa umalim lahem tamidim. So every day what they would do in the mikdash is that they were surrounded. So what they would do is that they would drop money in a box and hoist it down. And in exchange, they would get tamidim. They would get korbanos. The korbanos were brought up via via lift. Rashi, look at Rashi. Hayah Hyrcanus mibachutz, tsar Yerushalayim behavi imo chayil romiyim. So Hyrcanus, like I said in the beginning, he aligned with the Romans, and he brought Roman soldiers with him. So what would they do? Mishal shalem lam dinar keset pekupa, mitruma salishka litmidim. So the Kohanim, they would drop off or hoist down a box of money, and in exchange from the lishka, and in exchange they would get korbanos. So that way they could continue the korbanos every day. They would do tamidin every single day during this civil war. So what happened was, let's go back to the Gemara. Haya sham zakein echad shehaya makir b'chachmas yivanis. There was this one zakein, this one elder or chacham, not clear who it was, but he recognized chachma yivanis. He knew this chachma yivanis, and lo az lahem b'chachmas yivanis. And he was actually on the inside of the Yerushalayim, and he kind of conversed with them in this Chachma Yivanis, in this Greek wisdom. And Amar Lahan, he said to the Greeks, Kol zman she'oskim b'avoda einim saram b'yedchem. So in this Chachma, he said, as long as the Jews are doing avoda in the Mikdash, as long as they're bringing tamidim, so you're not going to win. You're not going to beat, you're not going to win this war. So l'machar, so what happened? L'machar, shil shalu lahem dinarim b'kupa v'helu lahem chazir. So the next day, the Kohanim, they sent down money for a tamid, and what they got back was a pig. Okay, so kevan shigia l'chatzi choma. So as they're hoisting up this pig, because I guess they didn't realize it was a pig. So what happens is they're hoisting up this pig up to the mikdash over the wall of Yerushalayim, and so they're really taking him from outside Yerushalayim in order to bring him to the mikdash. So what happens is, go back to the Gemara, Kevan shigiu l'chatzei choma, when the pig got to the middle of the wall, na'at ziparnav, it clawed onto the wall, this pig, nizdaza Eretz Yisrael arba mi'os parsa. So at that moment, all of Eretz Yisrael shook 400 parsos, 400 parsing. Look at Rashi. Let's do the Rashis just to understand the pshat. So he says, Hayasham zakin achad mibifnim, so this one Zakein, he was on the inside of Yerushalayim, and he kind of hinted to the goyim outside in this Chachma Yivanis, this idea. So he's saying it's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was enraged over this Chil Hashem that a pig was being sent up in exchange for the money and was supposedly going to be given as a korban. That was, you know, they were kind of messing with them. So he was angry. So Osa Shah, back to the Gemara. So Osa Shah Amru, Arur Adam Shi Yagdil Chazirim, but Arur Adam Shi Lamid Livno Chachma Yivanis. So they said at that point that a person who raises pigs is cursed, and a person who teaches his son Chachma Yevanis should be cursed. Val Osa Sha'a Shaninu, and on this year they taught Masa Uba Omer Migagos Tsarifim Ushte Alechem Mifkaas in Socher. Rashi. So that year they had these korbanos that they couldn't bring the Omer. Look at Rashi. Sha'osa Shana Hechribu Achayelos Esazraim Sheshvivos Medinas Yerushalayim. So all the soldiers had destroyed the fields around Yerushalayim. V'hutzrach l'havi osa shana es omer migagos tsarifim. So that year, because of the war and the destruction of the soldiers around Yerushalayim, they had to bring the omer from far away. U'vishar hashanim mitzvah omer l'havi min akar v'Yerushalayim k'dichsev karmel takrivu she'azer alach. Usually you have to bring the seeds and the omer korban from around Yerushalayim because it has to be wet. And when you bring it from far away, it doesn't fill up the barrel because it's not as wet. It's dry because it takes time to go from outside Yerushalayim into Yerushalayim, and it dries it out. Okay, so let's stop here for a second and just summarize briefly. So it's an interesting, I think, fascinating story. So this is the time period that we're at in Jewish history. We have this big civil war. One brother fighting his fellow brother. We have Hyrcanus II on the outside with all these non-Jewish soldiers, and we have on the inside Aristobulus. And the Jewish people at this time kept bringing korbanos, kept bringing tamidin. So you have this one guy, a nudnik, and he ends up using this secret chachma, this wisdom of the Greeks, to communicate to the soldiers outside that if you stop the Jewish people from bringing korbanos on a regular basis, then you'll win. But if not, you'll lose. So what they do is they end up sending a pig up instead of a regular tamid. And this pig claws onto the wall, and there's this nace that occurs. Eretz Yisrael shakes because it was such a chil Hashem that this occurred. And they made two gzeros then. One gzera was that you shouldn't raise pigs, which is weird, so why not? And the other gzera is that you shouldn't teach your son chachma. Chachmas Yevanis, not chachma in general. Chachmas Yevanis. So the question is, in terms of Chachma Yevanis and also the Chazirim, what exactly is the problem with raising pigs? What does Chazal mean in this case? And furthermore, it wasn't the Chachma Yevanis. It wasn't the fact that he spoke this Chachma, this wisdom, this language, that this occurred. It was because the guy was a Rasha. I mean, it wasn't. So it should say, don't raise your children as Rashaim and give them a good background in Torah and send them to a Jewish school. It should not say, don't teach them Greek wisdom. So it seems to me that Chazal, they're placing the blame on the Greek wisdom, but the blame itself should be on being a bad person. So it's interesting. So what exactly is the problem with teaching your son Greek wisdom, Greek chachma? And again, what is Greek chachma? Is it just language? Because it sounds like from the Gemara that it's like a language that they spoke. It's like Greek language, but you'll see from the next part of the Gemara that's not the case. They're allowed to speak Greek. So there's something else going on here in terms of Chachmas Yevanis. So we have to define exactly what Chachma Yevanis is. And aside from defining what it is, we have to understand what exactly the Xero was here. It should be, again, I said, it's not the Chachma that created the issue of the pig going up. It was really the Russia. So why are they blaming the Chachma? So those are my questions on the Gemara. And let's go on in the Gemara, because the Gemara kind of expands a little bit and raises some more questions. So if we go back to the Gemara on source number 3, the Gemara is, it says, Eini. Is that so? Is it so that you're not really allowed to teach your son Chachma Yevanis? That's the question. The Ha'amar Rebbe, Be'eretz Yisrael Lashon Sorsi, Lama. So Rebbe said, in Eretz Yisrael, why do they teach, or why do they use this Lashon Sorsi? Rashi says Sorsi was a Karav Hula Lashon Arami. They use this language that was similar to Aramaic. The Omer Anish Zeh Lashon Gemaras Yerushalmi of Umos Olam Kornos Linga. So it was called Linga. That's how the other countries referred to it. But they would use this language in Eretz Yisrael. It was similar to Aramaic, and it was the language of the Yerushalmi. So he asks, Rebbe asks, why do they use this language? Ela I Lashon HaKodesh I Lashon Yevanis. So he says, instead, what they should speak in Eretz Yisrael is either Lashon HaKodesh or Lashon Yevanis. They should either speak Hebrew, classic Hebrew, or they should speak Greek. Rashi, Olashon Yavani, shall you krovin arts Yavan, Veloshon Yavan, Yafe Mizev, Ahayalulis Aperbo? Because Greek is a beautiful language, and they live near Greece. And it's such a beautiful language that instead of using Sorsi, they should use Greek, or they should use Hebrew, classic Hebrew. So what's the, so the Omer Rav Yosef, and the Omer Rav Yosef, sorry, Rav Yosef said, Bevav Veloshon Arami Lama, Ela Olashon HaKodesh, Olashon Parsi. And they, and Rav Yosef said in Bavel, why do they use Aramaic? They should use Lashon HaKodesh or Lashon Parsi. So the question is from the first part of that, Brisa, where Rebbe says they should use Greek. It sounds like he's permitting the use of Greek language in Eretz Yisrael because he offers it as a possibility. He says they should, instead of speaking Sorsi, which is this language that's like Aramaic, what they should use is either Lashon HaKodesh or use Greek. So we see that Rebbe allowed, condoned the use of the Greek language in Eretz Yisrael. So how do we make sense of the fact that you're not supposed to teach your children Chachma Yavanis, but yet Rebbe seems to indicate that you should speak Greek because Greek is a beautiful language? So I just gave away the answer. So the answer is Lashon Yavanis L'chud v'Chachmas Yavanis L'chud. So the Gemara, it differentiates between the language of Yavanis and the Chachma of Yavanis. So what is the Chachma of Yavanis? Again, we still don't know what the Chachma of Yavanis is. The Chachma Yavanis Miasira. So now the Gemara says, who says that this Chachma Yavanis, whatever it is, it's not really philosophy, because it doesn't seem to be philosophy. Because if you go back to the story, the Zakein was communicating the Chachma Yavanis, and I don't think he was communicating in a philosophical manner. I don't think that's what it means. So what exactly is this Chachma Yavanis, and who says it's Aser? So go back to the Gemara. Who says it's Aser to teach your son this idea of Chachmas Yavanis? V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mishum Rav Shimon Gamliel Ma'adechsev Eini Olala L'Nafshi Mikobinos Iri, says that my eyes have brought me grief over all the maidens of my city. Elef Yeladim Hayu Beves Abba. So Rav Gamliel, he had this academy, and he had 1,000 students, 1,000 children. Chamesh Me'os Lamdu Torah, so 500 learned Torah. V'chamesh Me'os Lamdu Chachmas Yavanis, and the other 500 learned this Chachmas Yavanis. V'lo nishtayer mehen elo ani kan, the only people left from those 1,000 are me, uven achi abba be'asya, and my cousin who lives in Asya. So we see that Rav Gamliel taught his students Chachmas Yavanis. So what's the problem with it? Who says it's Aser? So the answer is shiny shall base Rav Gamliel de kruvin l'malchus havu. So the difference is that the house of Rav Gamliel, who was one of the leaders, so he was close to the palace, to the kingdom, and he had to know this Chachma Yavanis in order to converse. So therefore, there was a matir for them to use Chachma Yavanis and to teach Chachma Yavanis. So then what's the problem with it? So Desanya, look in the Gemara, it keeps going. There's a Braisa. Mispar Komi Harezem Midarche Ha'emori. So this type of haircut called the Komi haircut, the Komi haircut, look at Rashi, is a special type of haircut. Mispar Komi, Sa'arosh Lofanav Umeiniach Bloris Ma'acharav. So it was kind of like a mullet. So we'll call it the non-Jewish mullet here. So Mispar Komi Harezem Midarche Ha'emori. So the Jews aren't allowed to have this haircut, this mullet haircut, because it's considered Darche Ha'emori. Thank God. Avtalas ben uven reuven yitir lisaper lispar komi shu karv l'malchus. But they allowed this individual, Avtulus ben reuven, to have this mullet haircut because he was close with the king's kingdom. And shal beis Rav Gamliel yitir lan chachma yivanis mipnei shekrov l'malchus. And just like they allowed the mullet haircut, they also allowed Rav Gamliel to teach his students chachma yivanis because they had this relationship with the king. Okay, so now we have the whole Gemara. The whole Gemara is in front of us. So again, we have all these questions. Question number one, what is Chachma Yavanis? Can we define what it is? It's not pure philosophy, but it's not language. So what exactly is it? Because you see from the Gemara that Rebbe says that you're allowed to speak Greek, and Greek is a beautiful language. He's endorsing it. So what is this Chachma Yavanis, and what exactly is the problem with teaching it? And furthermore, just to add to the questions, why is there a problem with raising pigs because of this one example? And what's the problem with teaching your son this Chachma Yavanis? It wasn't the fact that he knew the Chachma Yavanis that made him a Rasha. It was the fact that he was a Rasha. So who cares that he was using Chachma Yavanis to communicate? what made him a Russia was the fact that he wanted to destroy the Jews, and he was willing to rat them out and to tell the non-Jews to give them a pig or to make sure that they don't keep doing that to me then. So those are, and then finally, what's the difference between Karv L'Malchus and why is there a matir over there by Rabban Gamliel? And we have that case of the haircut case. So those are all the questions that we have. All right. So any other questions that we want to stack onto the heap of questions? All right. Excellent. So let's just take care of some factual errors in the Gemara, some factual issues. So look in the Tosas Arush, source number 5, and then we'll get to the Svaras. Source number 5 is in Sota, it's the Tosas Arush on Sota Daf Men Tesam Beis, and it says, Asur l'adam shilamis b'no chachma yvanus. So he asked our question early on, Tema, d'masnisin k'sani d'bapomo shaltitus gazra chachma yvanus. So it says in the Mishnah that in the War of Titus, that's when they were gozer, Chazal were gozer, that you shouldn't teach your child or your children chachma yvanus. But the problem is that Titus was around the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. Kititos hechariv habayis, he was responsible. Kediisa b'parak hanizakin, it says that in the Parak hanizakin, that Titus in Gittin, that Titus was responsible for the destruction. V'hach uvda d'malchei beis chashmonai kadem tuva l'chorban habayis. But the whole story with Aristobulus and Horkinus, which we mentioned here, is way before the time period of Titus. Kediisa b'herkamad Avodah Zarah, like it says in Avodah Zarah, Demalchus Hordus, which is Herod, which I mentioned in the beginning, early on, Herod came after this war between Aristobulus and Hyrcanus. The real victor ended up being Herod. So Herod, he lived Mea B'shalosh B'fnei Abayis. He lived 103 years before the Bias was destroyed. So how do we reconcile this historical accuracy of the Mishnah and the Gemara? The Mishnah is talking about the time of Titus, but the Gemara is referring to a time period much earlier. The time of Aristobulus Hyrcanus was like around 100 years earlier, and it says that that's when the Gzera occurred. So when did it occur? Did it occur in the time of the destruction, or did it occur in the time of the Gemara, of our Gemara, in Aristobulus Hyrcanus? Okay, so back to the Tosfos. So he says as follows, Vitirat Rav Yaakov Rav Shimon, Demikara Gazurhu, Velo Kabilu Minaihu. So in the beginning, they created the Gzera. This was in the time of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. That's when they created the Gzera because of what happened. Velo Vesof Gazru Vekabilu Minaihu. But in the end, by the time of Titus, that's when they actually were Makabel the Gzera. So one answer is that the Gzera was initiated. This idea of not teaching your child Greek Chachma was initiated because of this story, but it ended up being accepted by the Am already 100 years later. That's one answer. So that's why there's a connection in the Mishnah between Titus and this story, because this story was the beginning of the Gzera, but the ultimate Gzera acceptance of the Gzera was in the time of Titus. So the second answer, V'odi Shlomar, D'mikara Gazor Ba'aror Ba'alma. So another good answer, great answer, is that in the beginning, Chazal just said you're cursed if you teach your son Chachma Yevanis. But if you want to be cursed by the Rabbanan, then fine. You know, there's no technical Isser. But in the end, what happened was that they were Gozer Lagamri. By the time of Titus, they made it a real Gzera and Isser. So in the beginning, the other answer Tosfos gives is in the beginning, it was really just an error. Like, don't do this. And if you do this, you're cursed by us. But in the end, by the time of Titus, it became more serious. But again, either way, so this just answers the historical issue. But either way, we still have the same question, which is, what exactly is the issue? What's the problem with teaching Chachma Yevanis? All right. And then one more point. Umiu Kasha, we see in the Gemara, Damrina and Arubo Klalobo Nidoya. So he says the Kasha is, though, when the Chazal say Arur, it's usually not just minimized, that it's just don't do it, but it's more serious that you get put in Nidoy. So it's a kasha on that approach. But then he says, one last point, it says in Menachos that a person who learned all Torah can learn Greek wisdom. So that's only a person, that's only because he was Karv L'Malchus. Again, it gives the same answer that he was close to the king, or the kingship, and he had to know this Chachma Yevanis. So again, same questions. So I just wanted to bring in the Tosfos, not necessarily to define the Tosfos, but more to bring in the idea or the question of, you know, what, how do we reconcile the two historically? So one answer he gives, again, is everyone muted or? You guys can unmute yourself. I'm sorry. I didn't do that on purpose. You have questions? Are you guys unmuted now? Hold on. Allow participants to unmute themselves. You can unmute now if you have any questions. All right. Can you hear me? Can you guys unmute? Somebody chat.
I was able to hear people before.
Oh, okay. All right. So some of the questions that are in the chat is, when did Rebbe say Greek was beautiful? So that's a good question. He must have said it much later, but nevertheless, obviously much later than the story, but they're just bringing in as a raya that, way after Titus, because Rebbe lived way after Titus. Rebbe lived like 200, around that, and Titus was around 70. That's when the second base of the Mikdash was destroyed, so it was much later. But good question. Are you guys still, hold on, one second. Okay, I have the power to allow you to speak. So let me just allow you to speak. I just pressed. No, it says they're all muted, but I just pressed unmute all. Oh, it says allow participants to unmute themselves. Oh. There we go. Now we go. All right. How about now? Donnie?
I hear you. Ari.
Oh, it's me. Sorry. It's my speaker. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's my speaker. My mistake. I'm sorry. Hello. Sorry. Now I can hear. Thank you. I'm sorry about that. A little technical glitch on my part. All right. Somebody say something so I know that now I can hear you.
Can hear us now.
There we go. I'm really sorry. Okay. My mistake. So feel free to ask instead of chat now, okay? I apologize. What did you say?
We were able to hear you all along.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize. My speaker was off. All right. So we have all these questions. And let's do one more Perush, and then we'll get to the main Svara here. So if you look in the Grizz, source number 6, it's the Grizz, that's right. Everyone's excited now because we're using the Grizz. Source number 6, it says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kishitzaru Malchei Beis Chashmonai Zel Zeh, Hayah Horkenes Mibachutz, Varistobulis Mibifnim. So Hayah Shom Zakin Echad, Shayah Makir Bechachmas Yevanis, Laz Lahem Bechachma Yevanis. So again, there was this one old guy, and he knew this Chachma, and he was able to communicate to the soldiers this fact. Osa sha amru aru adam shiagdil chazirim ba'aru adam shiilmad livno chachma sivana. So he just quotes the Gemara. At that moment, that's when Chazal said, cursed is he who raises pigs, and cursed is he who teaches his son Greek. So yesh la'ayin, dechim yishum shekein ira maise zeh, lachin kvar gazru Chazal ba'aru alha malamid b'no chachma sivanis. So is it just because of this act, this maisa, that the Chazal cursed a person who teaches his son Yevanis? It doesn't make sense. He's saying, it seems like it would make sense earlier to make this Zera even earlier. Why does this Maisa alone precipitate it? Ela nira de Chavanas ha-Gemara de ba'osu shah kishira ha-Maisa hevinu Chazal sha-shoreh sha-asakein hu machmas shalamad chachmas Yevanis. So he wants to say that this Zera existed before, but at that moment, they recognized that because the child, this man, this Zakin, was taught Chachmas Yevanis, that was the cause of his error. And that's what caused everything to occur. Mishum hachi hu degazru az chazal ba'arur al malame b'no Chachmas Yevanis. That's when they said, that's when they enunciated that cursed is he who teaches his son Chachmas Yevanis. So it sounds like he's saying that they already had a gzera. They knew that it was a bad thing to teach your child Chachmas Yevanis. But this story somehow brought out the real issue. And at that point, that's when they said Arur. But again, it just, the question is this the story? This story was about a Russia who happened to have wanted to destroy the Jewish people. It's not about the problem with Chachmas Yevanis. So what exactly is the issue here? So again, let me just summarize all the questions, and then we'll start. The next source is the beginning of this, I think, the beginning of the answer. So the questions are as follows. The questions are, what is Chachmas Yevanis? What exactly is it? Is it philosophy or is it language? So it can't be philosophy, because the problem with philosophy is that the person who is communicating with the non-Jewish soldiers, it sounds like he wasn't speaking philosophically. He was just teaching them or telling them what to do. But the problem with language is that we see that Rebbe endorsed using Yevanis. Sorry, not Chachmas Yevanis. So he endorsed being able to speak Greek. And in fact, Rashi says that it's a beautiful language, and it should be used in Eretz Yisrael, according to Rebbe, or possibly used in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, what exactly is the issue with Chachma? What is it? What is Chachmas Yevanis? And furthermore, again, you have this Aror, a person who raises pigs, which we don't know why. And the last point is Aror, the person who teaches his son Chachmas Yevanis, but it's not really the Chachma that really was the cause. But yet the Griz seems to point out that it really was the source, and that's why they said Aror at this moment, because they thought of this as the source. But how is this the source of this whole story and this destructive story, when it seems like the source is a bad apple, you know, a guy who's a Russia? So what exactly is going on here? So that's where I want to start answering these questions. And I think the Rambam's Pirush on the Mishnah here is really important, because he kind of defines what Chachma Yevanis is. So he says like this, look in source number 7. He says, Va'amru Yevanis, Rotzalomar Chachma Yevanis. So he says, they said Yevanis, but it means the wisdom of Greek, of Greece, the wisdom of the Greek language. Lefisha Yumachnis es haramazim shebedibor. So they would introduce these hints, like these secretive ideas into their words and their language. V'chein devarim she'enam kipshutam el yesh lahen inyan nistar chachma. Anything that's not obvious and has some type of hidden meaning is considered chachma. If it's Talmud Amru, Rabbi Mishtai Lashon Chachma, Vizkiru Divrei Chida, Kemoshnis Bar Begemara Avodah Zarah. So it says that Rabbi, I guess, utilized Lashon Chachma, and he mentioned Divrei Chida, which is like riddle. So a riddle is like equivalent to Chachma in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, because a riddle is something that's not pashut, it's hiding a certain concept, and that's what Chachma is, or at least one idea of Chachma. V'haya etal yevanim devarim mayan elam yuchadim etal umazu shemeshochachem bahem masherotzim kein ramazim bechidos. So they had all these ideas, these concepts that were unique to the Greek people, and they would introduce them through like riddles and hints, and it was kind of a way of speaking. They were able to speak in a way where they would hint to like much deeper ideas in their language. So it's not just the pshat language, but it's the way that it could convey like riddles and convey ideas that are nistar, that are hidden. So that there was this hidden Greek knowledge in their language, and that's what Chachma Yevanis is. It's not the language per se, but it's the ability to use the language in a way where it teaches and it hints to Greek knowledge, and that's what Chachma Yevanis is. So it's like a secretive language. And it says like this, go back to the Rambam.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Is it like what?
I don't know if that's the way to say it, but idioms? Or like when you have like these phrases like...
Yeah, it's similar to that, yeah. Yeah, it's similar to that they would use these phrases that would indicate or that would somehow reveal like a deeper knowledge. And yeah, like that. That's a good example. So go back to the Rambam. So he says, "V'tam aser davar zeh l'fish b'zman b'yishin itzar echad mimalchei b'nei chashmonai Yerushalayim. V'hayu anshei Yerushalayim m'shashlan lahem l'machane akupa dinarn b'chol yom m'nosan lahem b'hem shnei tamidim l'korban." So he goes through the story, and he says the reason why it's aser is because of the story, that basically what would happen is that the Kohanim and the Jewish people would give them money to Hyrcanus and his soldiers, and then they would give back the two tamidim in exchange. So there's one guy who knew these secretive language, this way of speaking. So he found these Greeks, and he was able to communicate with this secretive language. So he gave them this secretive, this knowledge in this secretive method of Greek, and he taught them that if the Jews stop giving korbanos, so then they'll succumb to defeat. So that's when they said that you can still teach the language, but you can't teach the way it's spoken to convey the deeper knowledge. You can't teach that element. You can only teach the language per se, but not the way that it's used to convey a deeper wisdom. So he says this doesn't exist anymore. Not a little bit, not a lot, this type of thing of Chachma Yevanis. So what is the problem? So we kind of get an idea of what it's talking about. The Rambam is defining it. It's still a little unclear, but he's saying it's not just language, but it's not philosophy. It's kind of a mix of the two. It's a way to speak. The way they spoke would be, the way the Greeks spoke was in the Greek language, but it was meant in a way to convey deeper meaning. So they had this like secretive methodology of speaking to one another in a way where they would convey like within hints and riddles and stuff, where everybody understood what the other person meant, but you wouldn't know what it meant if you just knew Greek. You would have to know this knowledge. You'd have to have this knowledge. So what exactly is the problem with it? Why did the Chazal, again, this doesn't really answer the questions. So now we know what it is, but the question is, why was this the problem, the issue of this Zakein who gave this knowledge to the Greeks and who gave the knowledge to the non-Jews to help destroy the Jewish people? It's not really the Greek wisdom here that's the problem. It's really the individual who was taught it. So what exactly is the Gemara saying here? And also, what about the pig thing? What's the deal with that? See, what's the deal with that? I have my Seinfeld background, so what's the deal with the pig thing, and what's the deal with the idea of the Chachma Yevanis? So here's what I want to give, where I want to give a star, try a possibility with you guys on the phone line, and we'll see if you have any questions, so let's give it a shot. So I was thinking that perhaps the idea, I was thinking about the concept of Facebook, the idea of that movie, what's it called, The Social Network. There's this movie, The Social Network, and it's all about how Facebook was founded on the concept of exclusivity, and how there's this magical there's an attraction to the idea of exclusivity and feeling like you're part of a group, and nobody else is part of that group, and you get to choose who's in the group and who's not in the group. And it's the whole idea of Facebook taking off was premised on using this psychology and this idea that you can use this exclusivity idea, and you know you're special because I ask you to be my friend. So that idea is very popular. It's very attractive. So perhaps that concept relates to this issue of Chachma Yevanis. So the problem isn't teaching your child a language that's outside of Lashon HaKodesh. The problem is that when a person is given this knowledge, he identifies himself with that group because he feels like it's like a secret handshake. You know, when you know a secret handshake, you feel like you're really part of that group. And it really helps you or I guess facilitates an identification with that group. So I would say the same thing over here by Chachmas Yevanis. The language itself, although beautiful, is not really the problem. The problem is that when you teach your son Chachma Yevanis and they have this ability to communicate in that way, so the idea is that they're attracted to it. There's like an attraction to the Goyim and to the Greeks because you feel like you're part of their culture. You feel like you're part of their group. It's almost like you're in their Facebook group and they invited you in because you have the secret handshake. So I think that's the Svara. The Chazal recognized that it wasn't just the fact that this guy was a Rasha that created this issue, but the reason for his Rishus, the source of his Rishus, was being taught Chachma Yevanis. Because when he was taught Chachma Yevanis as a child, he felt an identification with that culture, and he felt an identification with the Greeks more so than if he just knew the language. He almost felt like he had the secrets, like he had the secret codes. So the concept of I think that Chazal are noting is that when you do that, when you teach Chachma Yevanis, that's the flaw, that's the fatal potential flaw that will emerge in your child, that you're giving them an opportunity to identify with Goyim, especially, particularly the Greeks in this situation, or Greeks in general, because you're giving them this like secretive sense, this secretive language, which would make them feel more like they're part of that group, would actually identify the person, and that's what was the cause of this guy's rishos. So again, it's really the guy was a Rasha, and he caused this complete terrible Chilul Hashem. But his rishos was tied to the fact that he was taught Chachmas Yevanis, because the Chachmas Yevanis really created this identification with their culture more so than just the language alone. But of course, the Gemara says that if you're Karvel Malchus, that you're allowed to learn it. So it sounds like there's two factors, though. It's not just Karvel Malchus, but you see in both the cases, the one that Tosus brings down, because he says anybody who learned the whole Torah, and you also have the case of Rabban Gamliel. So the other case was Rabban Gamliel, who had the students. So you're only allowed to teach this Chachma Yevanis for, I guess, practical reasons, for practical purpose, because it's necessary for the Jews to protect themselves in order to have relationships with the kingdom. But you see that in both situations, the people that were in charge of how it was taught were Chachamim, were Rabban Gamliel, and you see the other one was this guy who learned the whole Torah. It says, Doma ben Achos Shal Rishmal. So he learned the whole Torah. So aside from being under a certain, or being a certain type of person on a certain level, or if you're a child and you're being taught, but you're being led by Rabban Gamliel, and there's a purpose to it, there's a practical function to it, then it was allowed. Because A, you're not teaching it just for the sake of, you know, enjoyment or for the sake of them getting an excitement, but it's being taught for practical purposes. And probably I would say it's being taught to save the Jewish people. But B, you had a leader like Rabban Gamliel who could make sure or ensure that this knowledge wasn't really used in a way to identify with the other group. And in fact, he was a strong leader, Rabban Gamliel, and so was this individual in the Tosfos. So that's the Chiddush. So the Gemara is not a Havamina, but the Gemara is saying that really the problem with Chachmas Yevanis is that you're facilitating an identification with the culture of the Greeks, because, like I said, it's almost like the Facebook effect, where the person feels like they have this inner knowledge that other people don't have, and that he feels like he's part of them because of that inner knowledge. But on the other hand, there's no, if it's guarded properly, if the knowledge itself, if you have a leader or somebody who's learned, a Talmud Chacham, who's capable of recognizing the dangers, plus there's a practical purpose to it of Karvel Malchus, so then it was Mutter, then there was a Matir. But it also fits in with the Gzera of the pigs. So again, it wasn't really the pig that was the problem, but the idea of the pigs is similar to the idea of, it's similar to the idea of the Chachma Yevanis, which is, what's the purpose of raising pigs if you're a Jew? You know, there's no real purpose. I mean, I guess if you're a pig farmer and you're selling to Goyim, but you're just setting yourself up and you're creating an environment where you're going to identify with that culture, with the culture of those who eat chazirim, those who eat pigs. So the idea is similar, that in both situations, Chazal recognized that when you do these actions, when you raise pigs, or in the situation of Chachma Yevanis, so you're going to be attracted to the culture in a stronger manner. And they recognize, and that's why they said Arur at that moment, because they recognize that this was really the cause of this situation. It was the Rishus, but the Rishus was facilitated, was sourced in the idea that the Rishus was sourced in the idea of Chachma Yevanis, or the idea of being attracted to the culture. And part of the attraction to the culture was also raising these pigs, which have no practical purpose or no practical value to a Jew, but there's a danger there. There's a danger of being attracted or being involved with that culture. So these were more subtle ideas that Chazal recognized in this instance, but really highlighted this issue, which is the sense of, like I said, the sense of feeling like you're more part of that culture than you are part of Yahadus. Okay. So we still have one more source that I wanted to do, but it's kind of late. I guess we'll try. We'll move on a little bit, if you guys are okay with that. So we'll go on. So one more story, just a story about Shemaiah and Avtalion. Because the beginning, the title of this year was The Dangers of Greek Wisdom and Shemaiah of Avtalion. So I have to mention Shemaiah of Avtalion, and I didn't mention it in the history, but aside from the whole civil war, this was the time period of Shemaiah of Avtalion being the Zugos, of being the leaders of the Jewish people. And it's famous that Shemaiah of Avtalion were Gerim, they were converts themselves. So there's an interesting Medrash in Edyos, which seems to indicate, look in source number 8. We don't have to do the whole Mishnah, but let's start from the beginning. It says, Akavya ben Mahalel, we won't do the whole thing. Akavya ben Mahalel, Heyed Arba Devarim. So Akavya ben Mahalel, sorry, Heyed Arba Devarim. So he testified about 4 things. Amrulo, Akavya, Chazer Bach, Becha, Ba'arba Devarim, Shayisa Omer. So they said to him, you have to retract what you said. V'nasech av beistin, and we'll make you the av beistin if you take back what you said. Le'Yisrael. Amar lahen mutav li likari shote kol yamai v'lo li'aso sha'achas rasha lefnei amakom. So he was very a proud individual, and he said, you know, I don't want this position. I'd rather be called an idiot than be a rasha for one moment before God. Shaloyu omrim bishvil sarara chazarbo. I don't want the people to say that the reason why I retracted my halachic ideas was because I wanted the position of power. And then it goes through all the different halachic ideas that he said that Chazal disagreed with him, and he refused to go along with the Rabbanan. So let's skip down. The other cases are kind of difficult. But the one that I want to take up is Huaya Omer. So if you could just go like 2 lines down, it says Huaya Omer, Ein Mashkin Lo Eseg Yores Velo Eshivcha Hamashucheres. So he held that by Sota, by the waters of the Sota, which was meant to check a woman who is potentially cheating on her husband, that he held, Akavya ben Mahalal held, that you're not supposed to give the May Sota to a convert or a Shivcha Hamashucheres, or a Shivcha, a non-Jewish Shivcha who is freed. The Chacham Omrim Mashkin. Then Chazal disagreed, and they said that you are supposed to. So Amru Lo, they said to him, Maisa b'Charkamis. There was a story of this woman named Charkamis, Shivcha Mishucheres. She was a freed Shivcha. Shehaisa b'Yerushalayim. She was in Yerushalayim. B'Hishkua Shemaya v'Avtalion. And Shemaya v'Avtalion, they gave her the Mesota. So Amr Lahem, he said to them, Akavya said to them, Dugma Hishkua. So they said that you were doing it to make an example. So there's 2 pshatim of what that meant. One is that he was criticizing Shmaya Bavtayon, and he was saying, because you're a ger, that's why you did it. You just want to show that even though you're a ger, you're equal to a Yisrael, and that's why you gave her the water. So he was really taking a shot at them. That's one approach. And the other approach was that, we'll see the other approaches in the Tosas Yontif that we'll look at. It's been in the name of Rav Haigaon. So what happened? Vinidu, so he was put in Nidoy, he was excommunicated, Umes Biniduyov, and he died in Nidoy, Visaklu Beis Din Esarono. They stoned his coffin, they stoned the place, his stone, where he was buried, burial stone. Amar Rav Yehuda, Chas V'Shalom, Sha'akavya Nisnada. So there's a machlokas. Rav Yehuda says, Chas V'Shalom, you can't say this, that Akavya was put in Nidoy. Sheina Zara Nineles B'fnei Kol Adam Yisrael. There was no individual the doors of the Mikdash would open for who had the type of chachma and yira, like Akavya ben Mahalal. He was this great individual. Ves mi nido. So who was put in nidoi? Eliezer ben Chanuch. So it was a different individual. Shepikpik b'taras yadayim. So he was arguing about the halacha of whether a person's hands with regard to tumah are part of their body or not. So they put a big stone on his aron to demonstrate that he was in nidoy. So there's machlokas. This is the second part of the shir. Shmaya v'Avtalion, they were gerim, and there's machlokas as to this guy Akavya ben Mahalal who is criticizing them. And one side maintains that the criticism was that the reason why you're doing this is because you're gerim, and you want to make it seem to Klal Yisrael that gerim are equal to Jews. In all senses, even when it comes to Mesota. So you think that they wouldn't want to do that, you know, you think that they want the Gerim to get out of Mesota, but apparently not. So that was the criticism. But the other criticism, the other way to learn is like Tosas Yontif, and let's just do it, and we'll try to define it. One last point. So he says, Chas v'shalom she'akavya nisnada she'ein b'chachmo v'yurashchei k'akavya b'mahalel. There's nobody like Akavya b'mahalel at that time period who had the same level of chachma and yira. So how could he possibly do something like this and be put in nidoy? The im tomar, the chimaso panim yesh b'davar, is there favoritism here? Sha'afo pishein gadol miyana b'doro, even though he was the greatest in his generation, im yechte v'asham ufalu elokim, zeh ha'shofet asher yeh b'ayim imahem, she'en lucha shofet elish b'doro. But if he was really guilty of criticizing them, he should be put in Nidoy because you had Yiras Chait. But who cares if he was the greatest in that generation? If you put down the Shofet, and you have to go based on who's the Shofet at that time. So if you put down the leaders, then you're Chayav Nidoy. Yiftach Bidoro. So Yiftach was also, like, that's another example of a Shofet who is in charge of his door. And even though he wasn't, you might not be, he might, maybe Akavya ben Mahala was brighter than Shemaya Bab Talion, but he had no right to put them down. In fact, you're Chayav Nidoy in that case. The Yishlo Omar, the Sfirle, the Hada Amar Dugma Hishkua, Lonis Gavin Lizalza Bechvodan Kla. So he wasn't trying to be mezalzel them. He wasn't trying to. Everyone holds. This is according to the Tosas Yontif that everyone holds that Akavya ben Mahala wasn't trying to break them down and to make them look foolish. Ukapirish akasav arach b'shem Rav Haigaon. So he quotes the arach. Who quotes Rav Haigaon? The Hachi Ka'amar. This is what he was saying. Akavya ben Mahala lo hishkua meisota elohayu kmiyarin osa shematoda shenit meis v'heruk ilu meisota hein. So what it means is that they used fake mesota, Shemai Vav Tayon, and they were trying to get her to admit to the fact that Shifcha Meshucheres, Karkimis, what was her name? Karkimis. They were trying to get her to admit to the fact that she cheated. So they used this fake mesota, it wasn't real, and that's what it means, Dugma Hishkua, that he's saying they used a fake mesota. They wouldn't use the real mesota because the halacha is that you don't give mesota to Shifcha Meshucheres. Okay, so that's interesting that they would do that. And then it says, Kederach Shamar Shlomo Gazrus Yel Rachai, Ushlo Lasos Kain. But he said you shouldn't do this. Ella, some Derach Lakira Kadeshi is Galo Asod, Ad Khan. So the Arach says that his argument was that they shouldn't have used this non Mesota to try to get her to admit to the fact that she cheated, but they should just use your classic good cop, bad cop routine. They should use your interrogation routine, the chakira, in order to get her to admit to it. So his argument on them wasn't to be mezalzel them. He was arguing with them conceptually. He was saying that you shouldn't use a fake system of mesota to get her to admit to it. Rather, you should just try to get her to admit to it and be choker her. Aval Tanakama sover shaya zilzel. But the Tanakama maintained that this was nevertheless a zilzel. It was an embarrassment. Yaros hayu osim lo lasos kain laz So the Tanakhama said that even though Shmaya Vav Talion were using this fake mesota to scare her, so nevertheless they shouldn't have done this. Rakavi ben Mahala was saying that it's a zilzal to do this. It's not really appropriate, but again they should have used a different method. They should not have tried to fake it. And Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar. But he wants to say that no, that really it's impossible to say that he would make this mistake and he would really criticize them for using this method. So then he says that there's a girsa that he was an anav. So he says, the Rabbi Tosas Yontov says that the question was whether he was put in Nidoy because he criticized them for using this fake method of trying to scare her into admitting that she cheated by using non-real Mesota water. They didn't do the actual process of Mesota, but they did it in a way to scare her so that she would admit to it. And Akavya ben Mahala was saying you shouldn't do that. And the question was, is that a zilzal or not? Like, was he being mezalzel them by saying that you shouldn't do that? Or no, it wasn't really zilzal to them. And he had a legitimate gripe against them. And he did it with the best of intentions. So that's a machlokas. A machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda is what exactly was going on here with Akavya ben Mahala. Was he criticizing them because he was saying that you shouldn't have used this fake me'amarim, you shouldn't present this woman who's accused of cheating with just regular water and try to drink, give it to her to drink. I think I skipped a line there in the Tosas Yontov. One second. Sorry. Go back. This is really important. Excuse me. Sorry. So they wanted to say that the criticism was that he shouldn't have done this. The criticism is that Shemaya Vav Talion shouldn't have done this because it would make the Me'amarim look like they were ineffective if it had to work, if it had to be used ultimately. And the other side saying, no, that really they were okay, that it was a good idea, that there was no problem with it. He's just arguing with them that they shouldn't have done that. They should have perhaps used a different method. But the question is, what exactly is his criticism? Is his criticism that they should not have done this because it was really like a sign of or a potential laws? It would create a rumor about the efficacy of the Ma'amarim? Or do you say, no, that really he was just arguing with them and saying that they should have used a different method. They should have just been chokir. They shouldn't use fake water. So that's the question. So what exactly is going on here? The question that was bothering me is, why would Shmaya Bav Tayon do this? And what exactly is the argument of a Kavim and Mahalal against what they're doing? So why would they do something like this? Why would Shmaya Bav Tayon do something like this? Obviously, it's not the first way of learning doesn't make sense. It wasn't just to prove that Gerim are equal to Jews. That seems to be the wrong approach. But what exactly were Shmaya Bav Tayon thinking? What was their svara when they try to fake her with this Ma'amarim, with this fake Ma'amarim? And what exactly is Akavim Mahal's argument against them? So this is the last point in the shir. So I was thinking about this in the framework of philosophy versus halacha. So the way I looked at it is that the philosophy of the Ma'amarim is really meant to, the purpose of the Ma'amarim is really not to punish the woman, it's really to get her to be modeh. And that's really the goal, the function of the Ma'amarim. It's not really that it be given to her in a way where she die from it. That's really not the goal. The goal is that she should avoid it and she should admit to the fact that she cheated, and then she'll be freed and she won't die and she will move on and she'll do tshuva. So that's really the goal of the Ma'amarim. So, but halachically, you know, you couldn't use the Ma'amarim in this situation. And that's what Shmaya Bav Tayon, they recognized that the halacha was that they shouldn't use the real Ma'amarim by a Shifcha Meshucharis. So the machlokas between Akavya ben Mahalel and Shmaya Bav Tayon, to me, seems to be the question of whether or not it would be ideal to use something that would be in the same framework of the philosophy of the Ma'amarim. So this non-Ma'amarim would work in the same exact way philosophically as the Ma'amarim. But on the other hand, it was a distortion of the halacha. So in a situation where the philosophy is intact, but on the other hand, a potential distortion of halacha would take place. So you're preserving the philosophy of the Ma'amarim by faking her out with this fake Ma'amarim, because you're really engaging Klal Yisrael and you're showing them that this is the purpose of the Ma'amarim, really to get her to be modeh. And if she's modeh, which they were seem to be confident that she would be modeh, so then great. So you're just demonstrating the beauty of the mitzvah of Mesota. According to Akavya ben Mahalel, the idea is that halachic distortion, even if it's not a philosophical distortion, shouldn't be tolerated. And Shmaya Bav Tayon, his argument, whether it was mezalzel him as a separate point, but his argument was that really Shmaya Bav Tayon shouldn't have used this method. They should have used a different method because, yeah, it's true that using this fake Ma'amarim would preserve the concept philosophically of the real Ma'amarim, because that's the purpose, to get her to be modeh. And it wouldn't be a distortion of the idea of Ma'amarim, using fake Ma'amarim. But nevertheless, according to Akavya ben Mahalel, there are either the idea is that there was going to be a laws, so there's the potential of destruction, and you can't create a possibility of distortion of the Ma'amarim just because the philosophy will be facilitated and enhanced by using this. That's one way. Or halachically, you can't do something that's not halachically appropriate, even if philosophically it's in line with the idea of the Ma'amarim. So I think that's the machlokas in the Mishnah, and that was the argument between Akavya ben Mahalal and Shmaya Bav Tayon. The question was whether or not Shmaya Bav Tayon did the right thing. They held or they maintained that the philosophy of the Ma'amarim would be expressed in the purest sense, even if they didn't use the actual Ma'amarim, and therefore it was appropriate to use. And the other side, Akavya ben Mahalal, was arguing and was saying, no, you don't have a right to create a potential distortion, and you don't have a right, or you don't have a right, the other way is you don't have a right to distort halacha and to not use the proper halachic method. Use a different method, even though you're enhancing, or you're, I guess not enhancing, but you're publicizing the philosophy of the Ma'amarim and how it works and its purpose, but nevertheless, you can't do that. So that was a machlokas between the two. It's a philosophy versus halacha, or a philosophy versus potential distortion idea, but the main difference is the approach of Shmaya Bav Tayon versus Akavya ben Mahalal. Okay, so we had a lot of points here. Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Distorting the halacha, then there's also going to be some distortion of the philosophy, right? Because the halacha
No, so that's a great point. The truth is that we see from Chazal and from the Torah that halacha is really not necessary for the proper philosophy to be expressed. It's really for the Am in general, but on a personal, because you see that the Avos, if you learn, I know there's Midrashim that say they did keep mitzvos, but the Avos had all the philosophy of Torah, and they didn't have mitzvos, or they didn't have the particular mitzvos. So we see that philosophy can sometimes be expressed even without the precision of the halacha. So the question is, in this situation, like I said, the philosophy of the Me'amarim, which is to get her to be Modeh, would be expressed completely through this fake Marim, Me'amarim. But on the other hand, you have the potential for distortion. So Akavah ben Mahalel was coming at it that even though there's a benefit of teaching Klal Yisrael about the purpose and philosophy of the Me'amarim through this method, even though it wasn't real, and the philosophy wouldn't be distorted, nevertheless, there would be a potential either distortion halachically or a distortion of the Me'amarim. So, okay, so let me just summarize. There's really two parts of the shir. The first was the Chachma Yevanis, and the second part was the Shmaya Vavtayon. The Chachma Yevanis, we had that weird story. The old guy, the Aristobulus Hyrcanus War, the old guy tells the soldiers that if they stop bringing korbanos, then they're going to be messed over and they're going to lose this war. So this old guy does it in Chachma Yevanis, and they bring this pig instead of a korban, and the pig grabs onto the wall, and there's tremendous Chilul Hashem. And Chazal say, oh, you can't teach your child Aror to a person who raises pigs, and Aror to a person who teaches his child Chachma Yevanis. So the questions that we have are, what is Chachma Yevanis? And we saw later in the Gemara that it's not language, because Rebbe endorses the language, and we saw that it's not pure philosophy, because he wasn't talking philosophy with soldiers. So what is it? And then furthermore, the problem of this guy was not that he knew Chachma Yevanis, but the problem was that he was a Rasha. And so what exactly is the issue? So those are the questions. So the first idea that I wanted to share is that Chachma Yevanis is, I want to call it the Facebook Svara. The Facebook Svara is that people are really attracted to exclusivity, the idea of being part of a group. And you see that there's an idea of like a secret handshake, that you're part of this group and other people aren't. And when Chachma Yevanis was an expression of that, because Chachma Yevanis was a secretive method of speaking Greek, whereby you can convey deeper meaning. So there was this hiddenness, this hidden element and the secretive element that made it attractive and made a person who learned it feel part of their culture. And the same thing with Chazirim. Chazirim is similar in that you're creating an environment whereby you're identifying with their culture. Because obviously Jews don't eat bacon, they don't eat pork, so why are you raising Chazirim? And the idea is that you think that you can do these things without being enticed, but a lot of, you see in this case that this guy's rishus was really sourced in this enticement early on from childhood of being identifying with the Greeks and identifying with non-Jewish culture. But we said that in situations where it's controlled, like Rabbi Gamliel and the guy in the Tosfos who learned Kol HaTorah Kula, and when there's a practical purpose to it, then it's mutter. The second point was Shmaya Vavtayon, and there's a weird Mishnah where they're criticized by Akavah ben Mahalal, and the question was, what exactly was going on there? And the Tosfos Yontif brings down in the name of the Arach and Rav Hai Gaon that what was happening with Shmaya Vavtayon, were trying to give this Shivcha Mishuchares fake Me'marim. They were just regular water that you would get from your local lake. And they put it in, and they put it into a bowl, and they try to get her to be Moda through this method. And Akavah ben Mahalal, he had a problem with that. And the Machlokas is whether he's put a Nidor or not, but what exactly is the exchange and the problem that Akavah ben Mahalal had with Shmaya Vavtayon? So the last point I wanted to make is that Shmaya Vavtayon it's a Machlokas, and Shmaya Vavtayon maintained that the philosophy of Me'amarim would be preserved in its purest sense, even if they didn't use the halachic system in this situation, because the purpose of the Me'amarim is to get the woman to admit to it. So they maintained that it would be better to try to get her to be Moda in this way in order to demonstrate the beauty of the Me'amarim and how it's supposed to work. Whereas the other side, Akavah ben Mahalal, was saying, no, you can't do that because, A, like there's other methods and you can't distort the halacha in this way. Or the other possibility, which is mentioned in Tosfos Yontif, is the possibility of distortion. You can't allow for that possibility to occur where people say the Me'amarim doesn't work and it's not real. So that's the last point in the shir, and hopefully we'll move on next week. Thanks for calling in, and any questions at this point?